Next up, we have a presentation of the Common Core from the elementary buildings. And I'm not sure.
Thanks. Thank you. Sure.
Thank you, ma'am.
No problem.
We do love pictures.
I can say welcome. I get to be the lead-off speaker. I'm here, our K-4 math department chairs. I never got to be the lead-off batter in high school for softball, but I get to be the lead-off speaker tonight. We welcome you, and we'd like to give an overview of what our math department chairs have done this year and have done previous years. We are obviously moving into Common Core, and we are beginning with just an introduction. We have tonight Carrie Faust, she'll be sharing a little bit, and I'm there, Charlene Flynn at Raymond. Dina was not able to be with us. She had a death in the family and was not able to participate at this time. Heather will be speaking. And the last two, we thought it was real important for them to be with their first graders tonight because Mill Valley has a music program. Yeah. I think Greg wanted them to be there. So we are here to be in chat. Charge all those first graders on stage. Our overview of the Common Core, once I want to point out that the Common Core standards are consistent across the United States, and I believe there are 45 out of 50 states at this time that have adopted the Common Core, and they are very rigorous, and meaning that they are adding higher thinking skills, and it's no longer just a mile wide, cover everything you can cover, but we're limiting the skills at each grade level and going deeper and asking those children to use higher level thinking skills. There are fewer standards, but we are asking them to apply those in deeper ways. The next one talks about being conceptual and procedural. We want them to learn the concepts, and we want them to understand that, not just be able to do a math algorithm and know I have to do this step, but we want them to be able to understand why they're doing those steps and explain that to their peers and to their teachers. That kind of fits in with the next part. It's research-based and is progressive, and we want them to know why something works. And the emphasis is on justification and math processes, which Heather will be talking a little more about in detail. But the justification of how I got the solution. And we don't expect children to get the solution all the same way anymore. I know when I was in school, and maybe some of you, the teacher says this is the way to do it, and I learned to do it. But I may not have understood all the reasons why. But we want children to be able to have their solution and then be able to justify how they got it and explain it to others around them.
So as math department chairs, we have a few roles that some shoes we were asked to fill this year. Part of our role as math department chairs this year was to assist with curriculum mapping. Currently, our teachers have been teaching the Ohio content standards, but we're transitioning to the Common Core, and that gets a little tricky, trying to double dip into old content standards and new Common Core. So part of our role as math department chairs has been trying to just facilitate some of that curriculum mapping and make sure that we're moving our kids forward. Another one of our roles this year has been facilitating professional developments to buildings. Each building has done that differently, but at my building at Haven, I have a meeting once a month with my staff members that has a very focused direction, and I'm facilitating very concise, succinct information to my staff that's pertinent to the Common Core. Another one of our roles is kind of facilitating and helping just kind of guide those district-wide meetings. We're currently reviewing materials for possible adoption for future mathematics curriculum, and so as math department chairs, we're kind of overseers of making sure that curriculum gets in the hands of teachers and teachers have time to review that and give their input in that. And just kind of as a support person to staff people. If staff members are trying things out in their building, they might say, you know, Heather, I'm really stuck with this and I need your help. Can you show me how to do X, Y, Z? So just kind of being there for staff as we muddle through these next couple years that are coming up. One of the big things in the Common Core are the 8 mathematical practices. Mathematical practices are, you know, kind of tricky to explain. They kind of go, they're kindergarten through 12th grade. And they're not so much skills, but habits of mind. They're not necessarily procedures that we as teachers teach students. The mathematical practices are things that we as teachers consciously have in our mind that we embed into our teaching. So our students learn how to think in a certain way. We want our students to be patient problem solvers. We want them to be proficient and thoughtful mathematicians. And in order to do that, they need to be able to reason abstractly. They need to be able to show their mathematical thinking. They need to be able to attend to precision. If something's tough, they need to be able to learn to keep trying at it instead of giving up. And so something that I try to encourage my staff to be cognizant of is just to kind of keep these mathematical practices in their mind. The tricky part is this is a shift for our teachers. They're not really used to teaching this way. And so this is just something that we're going to keep working on. But this is moving us forward in the direction of developing our kids to be really proficient mathematical thinkers.
I'm going to tell you about 2 ways that we've started to do this. One of the ways is called Number Talks. Book by Math Solutions. There's several teachers in the district using this book right now. I'm going to take you into my third grade classroom. That's how I know Number Talks right now. What we do is we give each student 3 problems as a class, and they have to solve it, and the problems progress. So one of the things at primary is doubles. So we would start off with what is 10 plus 10? The kids are learning their double facts, and then we would give them the problem, what is 10 plus 11? So we talk about it's a double plus 1 more. It's more efficient to think of a double plus 1 more than it is to start at 10 and count by 1 11 times. So one of the things with Number Talks is being efficient. What strategy are you using that is the most efficient? But we also want to get the most accurate answer. So I'm going to ask you to be a third grader right now. And I want you to think of the problem 5 times 29. And I want you to solve it mentally in your mind. 5 times 29. Okay. Heather?
Do you want me to
number
talk?
No, not yet. Okay. What did you get for your answer?
145.
And so we would go around, if someone had a different answer, then we would share all those possible answers, and then we would start asking students, how did you solve the problem? Now, I know for a lot of us, when I've been taught, we thought, okay, 5 times 9, put the 5, carry the 4, multiply diagonally, add the 4. Did anybody think that way in their mind, or try to think that way in their mind? If you ask one of my students, hopefully right now in my room, they said, well, I thought of 5 times 30 because 30 is a friendly number. It's close to 29. So then they use their basic fact extension and say 5 times 3 is 15, add the 0 using the basic facts. And then what is the difference between 5 times 29 and 5 times 30? 5 times 30 is just one more group more. So then we just have to take 5 away from 150 and get 145. I was just trying my presentation out on my cousin at home, and she goes, I wish I would have been taught this way. That makes so much more sense. And it's funny because parents will come into conferences with me, and they go, what are you teaching my child? I know it's different than how we've been taught, but it's the way we're moving. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is how can we take students and move them to the Common Core? And that's getting them to think about strategies. And again, Number Talks does it. What is the most efficient strategy? It could be different from student to student. We want the students to be able to use flexible strategies. So when the students share their strategies, they can learn new ways to solve problems. And in my classroom, I write the student's name beside their strategy, and they're like, oh, I'm using, you know, Joe's strategy today, and they think that it's the best thing in the whole world. So I am a firm believer in Number Talks. I think it's a great thing that our district is moving towards. And that takes us into something else we're doing, which is rich problems. And at the third and fourth grade level, we have developed a rich problem for each teacher to give their students each trimester. It might be a problem at the beginning of the year. For example, I have 12 apples and 5 students, and I want to divide them up equally. How much is each student going to get? And this may be before we've even taught them fractions or divisions, but I put them into small groups. They get a chart paper, and they get jobs. One might be a timer, one might be an encourager, one might be a motivator, one might be the scribe, one might be the one that shares out the strategy. So they work together, and then they get up and they present the rich problem to the class. I don't tell what is the correct answer. I wait until the end. We talk about which answers make sense, looking at the different possibilities and the different answers. We also use accountable talk. One of my favorite things is you say, do you understand? And they give me a thumbs up. Or I'm kind of getting it, so I use a thumbs to the side, or I totally don't get it, Mrs. Faust. And so it's a quick, easy assessment to use in my room to see which students are applying these things. So with the use of Number Talks and rich problems, I think at the K-4 we're moving towards the Common Core. Thank you for your time.
I got you. So you're moving off of Everyday Math, is that correct?
It's one of the programs that we're looking towards in the adoption. K-2 has already moved forward with the new adoption of the Common Core Everyday Math, and we're looking towards possibly adopting the 3-4 version, but we also have 4 or 5 other programs that Expressions, Investigations, Orgo, those are other programs we're still looking.
So does this support that then? This isn't a replacement for that, is that?
Number Talk?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I should have said that. It's a 5 to 10 minute part of your math lesson. So it is not the program itself.
I see, I got you.
It's an added part of
just kind of how to supplement, how to do those problems once you start getting
into language arts. You do a mini lesson in language arts that focuses on the skill that maybe is going to be taught, like in the guided reading groups.
Well, it's been a while, but yeah.
A lot of these teachers, as they mentioned, for math are doing the same similar thing, that guided math instruction. And that Number Talks delivers that rich conversation.
Okay.
So it allows them to converse about math. Just like you think of it, you know, if you try and say math is like a language, you know, when you think of literacy, when kids are learning how to be fluent and read, it's the same concept with the Number Talks. It gets them to be able to talk instead of just solving, which then makes the critical thinking, the problem solver, a lot of that depth that they were mentioning.
The Number Talks also really fosters math sense or number sense, which sometimes a lot of young children don't have naturally. So it's all a chance to think about numbers and adults, yes.
Now, is that part of Common Core? Because I thought you guys were doing that a while ago, because I want to say you guys did a demo. Somebody did a demo of Number Talks at one of our board meetings.
It's been used more widespread this year as we've been doing more professional development with our staff. And I think it's more teachers are picking it up.
One of the math department chairs is Mary Davis, and she got trained in it, and so she's led a class teaching other teachers how to use it. So we're more or less beginning and starting to use it.
Number Talks is not Common Core as far as a standard, but it is supports the strategies of deep thinking and understanding and many of the mathematical practices that they talk about.
And those number doing a 5 to 10 minute Number Talk really hits on those mathematical practices and really gets kids to be patient problem solvers and to flexibly solve problems in the various.
Are you seeing a difference, like from years where you didn't use that, the kids that kind of don't think that way naturally, that kind of just try to memorize everything? Are you seeing those types of kids kind of
picking
up?
That's awesome. It's incredible. How they think it's incredible. I was just doing a math lesson today. I teach third grade, and I teach inclusion math, so I have our IEP kids and our struggling math thinkers, and I just wanted to like jump on the table. I was so excited. Just, it's incredible what their little brains can think when they learn how to reason through numbers and just make connections with numbers. It's incredible.
That's great.
What they can do. So it is making a difference for sure.
I know, and she invited you into the library. We would love, I mean, it's one of those things you have to come and see
you
the
have
kids
to see it.
And their thinking. It's so cute. So if you ever get a chance, come in during our math lessons. We'd love to show you.
Okay. Anybody else have anything else?
That's great.
Thank you very much. Thanks for all you do.